Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Natah Parataro Loke Pumsas Svarta Yatikrama Yad Adhyanyasya Prayastvam Atmanas Vyatikrama. Sva Vyatikramat Natah Parataro Loke Pumsa Svarta Vyatikrama Yad Adhyanyasya Prayastvam Atmanasva Vyatikramat Natah Parataro Loke Pumsa Svarta Vyatikrama Yad Adhyanyasya Prayastvam Atmanasva Vyatikramat
After this.
Paratara.
Greater.
Loke. in this world,
pumsaha,
of the living entities,
svaartha,
interest,
vyatikrama,
obstruction,
yaradhi,
beyond that,
anyasya,
of others,
prayastvam,
to be more interesting,
atmanaha,
for the self,
sva,
own,
vyatikramata,
by obstruction. Translation. There is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. Purport. Human life is especially meant for self-realization. Self refers to the super-self and the individual self, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. When, however, one becomes more interested in the body and bodily sense gratification, he creates for himself obstructions on the path of self-realization. By the influence of Maya, one becomes more interested in sense gratification, which is prohibited in this world for those interested in self-realization. Instead of becoming interested in sense gratification, one should divert his activities to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Soul. Anything performed contrary to this principle is certainly against one's self-interest. So the four Kumaras are speaking here on renunciation or detachment from the material world, but it's not renunciation where there's feelings towards the object. It means the object is there and one has feelings towards it, but this is a matter of the object only has the purpose of serving Krishna. And if it doesn't have any service to Krishna for us, we're not interested. This principle, it's so simple, but unfortunately very elusive, that the living entity means God is the only enjoyer as such, means direct. Everybody enjoys, everybody's happy, because you have a relationship, everybody is happy. So it's just a matter of what part you're taking in it. Are you assisting in it or serving in it, or you're the one who's the center of attention? So the principle is that the person who's serving, and if we think about it in day-to-day activities, the person who's serving is getting more out of it than the person who's being served. Just the way it works, right? The child is eating, you know, and they're enjoying the food and everything, but how much they're gaining from being served, you know, the cooking for them, putting it on the plate, seeing that they're eating, asking if they want more, talking with them, the person who's doing that is getting more than the person who's eating. So like that, it's that way in everything. It's just the principle. So, because the forms and the activities are actually connected with the service, they're not connected with the enjoyer. Right? So the difficulty is because we identify as the enjoyer. Therefore, we see all objects as something for us to enjoy. Right? This is the illusion, is that whatever we look at, it must be for enjoyment. And if it's not for enjoyment, then it's for renunciation. And I don't want to have anything to do with it. But in any case, it's all about us. But what the Kumaras are speaking here is that it's not about us. It's about self-realization. There's God and the living entity. And then you have the Lord's energy. Now, if we're servant, we see the energy as God's, to be engaged in His service. We don't see in this way, then we think the energy is for us to enjoy. It's that simple. Anything you see, the senses contact, Then the question is how do you see it? Do you see it in relation to yourself, that you're going to enjoy it, or you see it in relation to Krishna and how it could be engaged for his enjoyment? That's all. This is practical, you know, what Krishna consciousness comes down to. This is the practical point. It's not controlling the sense, all these things. That's so that we get an idea, you know? You know, say, okay, you know, we're going to be cooking for the deities now, you know, we have to be very serious, you know, and not, you know, be distracted and talk all kinds of bajalpa and all that, and everyone's going, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do this. Okay, but now have I discussed anything about cooking? Nothing. Cooking something else. So the whole idea is in the world, we have all this, we do all these things, we don't. That is so that we have the right attitude. The real point is whatever it is you're working with, the activity itself, the experience of it, the results of it, is all for Krishna. That's all. It's that simple. So the Kumaras are pointing out here, just in a very straightforward way, you know, from many, many angles, that's all it is. Right? That's what self-realization is. Now, the devotion comes in is that you're practicing self-realization to please the Lord. And that's the easiest. Because if I see an object and think, this is for someone else's pleasure, that's very easy. Right? It's really easy because I'm involved, I have an identity, I have a relationship with the other person, the activity is there, the result will be there. Very straightforward, very easy. Now if I see the object, and then I say, this is not for me. Right? So, it's the process of detachment is the same, but the difficulty is where's the relationship? Right? Because all I've identified is myself and the object. Right? There's no Krishna. So instead of the object being, you know, the medium or third party, it becomes, there's me and there's the object. So it's between the two of us. That's the relationship. So now it's no relationship. Cut it off. So nice, but what happens is that what that does is that makes relationships with others not go well because one becomes hard-hearted. So though it's valuable that we don't think of it as sense gratification, between the two processes, one makes the soft heart soft, one makes the heart hard. That's what I said, renunciation makes the heart hard. That doesn't mean it's not done. But one would do it in the way that it's connected to the Lord, so the heart becomes soft. The Goswamis were the most detached, but their hearts were very soft. Right? But we see these other great sages in that. They're detached, but the heart is hard. Because they're not seeing the relationship with God. That's all. What you see, anything you contact with your senses, is simply the medium between you and God. Does that make sense? Or you and the devotees. The problem is we think, no, this is mine. This is for me. But as previously explained, as soon as you're the enjoyer, then that affects your identity. It gives you a designation. If I say, this is for me, then who am I to be able to enjoy it? You have to give a designation. Right? So therefore, depending upon what it is, then you will get that designation. You know what I'm saying? Like in the world, we say, oh, this person, yeah, they're a great musician, and this person's a great cook, and this one's a great speaker, and you know, this one's a real people's man, and this one's a good manager, and like that. We'll say like that, right? It's common. But we don't say like that at all about Prabhupada. Though he was expert in all those fields just mentioned. You just think devotee. Why? Because there's no designation. Because he doesn't think, I'm playing music, I'm the musician, so I'm enjoying this whole thing. No. I'm the servant of Krishna. So there's no designation. This is the meaning of no designation. We'll take it externally, meaning, oh, okay, there's no, you know, there's nothing there that you could latch onto and enjoy. But we take that view because if we see something, we want to enjoy it. If we see something we don't want to enjoy it, we don't speak like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Like a small child, they can walk, that we mentioned before, a small child can walk into a room full of ladies or getting ready for something, dressed and all that, doesn't care, just comes over and says, you know, hey, I'm hungry, you know, like that's all, you know, and, you know, goes away. And it's not going to go out and tell his friends, you know, the five-year-old go to the other five, well, hey, wow, I was in there and all the ladies, man, they're half-dressed, wow, cool, you know, like that. He's not going to do that, right? But now the person who's attached to women will say all that. And the person who is detached from women, he'll also be talking about women. But no, this and that, and this is a problem, why get involved, and like that. But the kid who has no interest, he doesn't talk about him at all. Right? You know, isn't that one of the mommy's problems, right? Kid never talks about them. Right? Does that make sense? Because they're not seeing it as sense gratification. Right? You know, we're talking about small ones, right? When they get a little bigger, then somehow or another something goes wrong. So this is the point, it says, there's no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. Nothing is more pleasing because it's the relationship between you and the Lord and his energy. You just see a connection. That means it's anything. Anything can be seen in that way. But as soon as we think the object itself has a value more than that relationship, means you've cut Krishna out of it. That's all. There's you, there's some boga, and there's the deity. Right? It's very nice. It's very obvious. You offer it, everything, everybody's happy. But if it's just you, the boga, no deity, right? Then that's a problem. You understand? So it's like that with anything. Does that make sense? You know, you, the house, and Krishna's not part of that. You, your money, Krishna's not part of it. You, your family, Krishna's not part of that. Right? You, your position, Krishna's not part of that. So it means anything else you see. So all it's saying is don't stop the natural process where you see, it means seeing things aren't the problem. This is always the thing because we have, you know, those, you know, the hardcore dry renunciation kind of, you know, presentations. They're true. They're correct. But they're not including the reason you want to be detached from it is because there's a person there that you're supposed to engage it in their service. So they're taking the first step, so it's correct. But it's not pleasing because it doesn't include the full explanation. Right? Does that make sense? So then you get the argument over, you know, do we enjoy it or do we renounce it? And these two parties fight like anything. But the point is it's reconciled because it's not... Whatever you see it in relation to Krishna. Whatever you're dealing with, it's in relation to Krishna. So that's why Krishna keeps saying again and again, just perform your prescribed duties. It's not a matter of, you know, making something up, how to become very detached or how to become the greatest enjoyer. It's a matter of what your duties are, that's your field of activities. In that field, apply this process. What you see, then see it can connect it to Krishna. That's all. So the brahmachari's field is different from the grihastha's field. Right? So therefore, the brahmachari sees, you know, deals with less things. Grihastha deals with more things. The principle is that maturity of dealing with more things means you see all those things in connection to Krishna. And the brahmachari, it's either he's in training to be able to see like that, or being trained to see like that, he understands, I'm comfortable just seeing how much I see. I don't need to see more. Right? Does that make sense? Not, yeah. Don't, no one should take it that we have something against Seymour. Right? He's a nice guy. Okay. Yes. That microphone.
So, Shri Prabhupada explains that the greatness of a man is to be known by his ability to tolerate provoking situations.
Tolerate provoking situations. Yeah. Okay.
Now, yeah. The four Kumaras, they stopped growing at the age of 5. So, but they're known as great souls. But there was no challenge in their life that their kids having. There's no challenge. It's
a challenge to be a 5-year-old because you're always a kid, you know, and everybody looks at you as a kid. You know, challenge. See, you're looking at it that the challenge is. It's like the challenge is more subtle. The challenge is whatever you see it connection to Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj at 5 is seeing everything connection. From 3, it's mentioned from 3, he would be sometimes rolling on the ground in ecstasy and like things like that. So from 5, he'd be seeing. So there's plenty to see as a child. You know what I'm saying? You know, seeing a cookie jar is a big thing, you know, and it's between meals. That's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it has just as much meaning. You know, it's just like, give an example. I always thought it was, has some, you know, some relevance in this. I always thought it very interesting, the false ego of adults, right? So when they're quite young, right, if they develop an attachment for somebody, then the more mature, or, you know, the more those who are married, or, you know, in other words, those who have been married and, you know, like the donkey gets kicked in the teeth, then they have their idea that, you know, love means that, you know, all the pains and everything that go with it, right? While the younger ones are looking at simply the ideology of it, right? So the older ones who are not doing so good at it, to make themselves feel superior, they'll always say that the younger ones, that's, you know, a crush or puppy love, or they don't really know what love is. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So it's not that, you know, we have the thing and yeah, then that makes it, you know, now it's serious. You know what I'm saying? The point is as Prabhupada mentions, all it takes is attachment to one, you know, rasgula, and you come back. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, you know, the greatness, the volume of it, like that. The point is it's, you're pushed by the modes of nature. The kid, you know, has to touch the cookie jar, right? The young man has to touch the woman. The thief has to touch the money. Somebody, they have to, they're just pushed by the modes. So because the nature of it, means if you steal a cookie, the reaction for it's not as great as if you steal a girl, right? You know, or steal money, or so therefore we think it's more important. But as far as the nature of the entity, it's just as challenging, right? So that's why I said Narad Muni is explaining about when he was a child. In the previous lifetime, as the son of the maidservant. So he said, I wasn't playful. He was serious about God consciousness. So in the purport, Prabhupada's mentioning, you know, of course kids are playful. But it means in his mind, he was concentrating on God consciousness. It didn't mean that when he went from point A to point B, he wasn't skipping. You know, an adult would say, that's playing. You know, or do funny things with things, but he's thinking about God. You know what I'm saying? So it's in the context of your field. That's what's important. You know what I'm saying? Because we see that there's plenty of other things that are, how do you say, can be challenging. right? Someone is the Lord of the whole world, right? He's not necessarily as distracted by women, right? He wants to be the controller of everything. You know, all these people fighting for to be the monarch or the king or the emperor or, you know, whatever it is. It's always a constant thing like that, no? Like that. One's social position. One will leave one's family, neglect one's family, to work very hard to move up in the company and be recognized and have a position. You understand? So, now, being 5 years old, and you can keep yourself 5 years old, you never get more than 5 years old, you would probably be well known. Right? You know, you're not just another face in the crowd. Right? And it's not even just one, it's four of them. Right? And not only that, they walk around naked. Okay? Not only that, they're great sages. They're sons of Lord Brahma. They're on this, they're self-realized. Now, would that cause any problem of being, you know, in a position that they would be respected by, you could say, everyone in the universe, you know, everyone in the universe would be junior to them except Lord Brahma. Okay? Now, could you say that there's any challenge in that? Okay. So all it is they don't want to get involved in the distractions of family life, so they decide if you don't grow up, then it doesn't go, right? You know, so they're the only ones that could actually pull it off, right? Peter Pan tried, but it didn't work. He did grow up. Okay. Yeah. Something else?
It's about sense gratification.
Okay, what happened to the mic?
Do we have to do service?
It's on the very bottom, this little dinky thing.
But to make sure that it's not sense gratification, do we have to do service that we really hate? Because I tried and it doesn't last very long.
Oh, try this. Would it be a real marriage because you hated the guy? You know, they're the one you hate most, so you're always thinking of them. So it's easier to hate them because you're always around them. No. See, sense gratification means the mistake we make is that we're taking sense gratification and devotional service to be two different activities. The activity's the same, the consciousness is different, right? Probably gives the example. One person goes to the market, but for sense gratification, the devotee goes to the market, buys the same items, but for Krishna, right? The one person cooks for sense gratification, the other one cooks for Krishna, right? The other one eats the food for sense gratification, the other one eats to honor the Lord. So it's not, the mistake we made is that if the senses are engaged, it has to be sense gratification. No, that's the point being made, is that it's only sense gratification when you see it not connected to the Lord. Right? So that means that engaging the senses isn't the problem. It's when the senses are engaged for yourself, it's the problem. When they're engaged to please Krishna, it's not a problem. Like that. So that's why I was saying it doesn't change the situation. It's a matter of why you're doing it. Right? Because Arjuna, he's looking at it, okay, if I'm going to be self-realized, then I need to change the situation. So instead of being the Kshatriya Grihastha, I will become the Vanaprastha and go to the forest. Right? But the thing is that's, it's not going to work. It's not his field of activities because the nature of his body is such that he's a grihastha and he's a kshatriya. So him engaging his abilities in that field, in Krishna's service, that's devotional service. But now, at the beginning of Gita, he was thinking about engaging those abilities for his own purpose. That's sense gratification. It's just a change in consciousness, that's all. But this doesn't mean we just, it's lip service. It means it's real. Does that make sense? So it has nothing to do with that, because body, mind, and words should be engaged. Now, if you absolutely, totally hate every aspect of it, that, you know, when you think about it, your hairs stand on end, your mind becomes distracted, your intelligence starts reeling, then you could maybe say, you know, body, mind, and words are engaged. But that would be very hard to find something that you hate that much consistently and then do that for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's much easier as whatever situation you're in, you know, it already has enough facility for pleasure and pain, right? You don't have to change the situation. So it's a matter of whatever is the situation that you see in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Hmm? So you don't have to suffer. You can still be happy.
Why would suffering be the element?
Because if you're suffering, then it means you're really, really not doing it for you. You're doing it.
Are you sure?
Of course.
The woman is sitting there. Her husband's upset her, and she's completely, there's a dark cloud there. She won't talk. She won't look. She won't anything like that. And she's purely doing that for pleasing others, right? It's totally about herself. She's been upset, and everyone's going to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? And when they show enough, in other words, when they show symptoms that they are also suffering in the same way, then you release the control. Because the point is that and also everything is going fabulous. Why can't it keep going fabulous? The men go together, they sit down together, they tell the same jokes, drink the same thing, talk the same things, do the same things at the same place, you know, eternally, you know, like that. And it never changes. It just, you know, they get a little this and that and they adjust it, something like that. But the women can be in the best situation that there possibly is, but they'll have to find a fault to make it absolutely miserable. So if you can remove that misery, now it's a fabulous situation. You understand? So in other words, you have to understand that you're taking it that there's something not going as well as you would like, so you're taking that negative, because if it can be worked out on the negative, it'll pop back way better than it was before. So the point is that oscillating principle is fine, but still that has to be seen in connection with Krishna. Because that's the feminine nature, but that has to be seen connected to the Lord. You don't connect to the Lord, then that's sense gratification. We have this funny idea of devotional service and renunciation means the senses aren't being engaged. Like I heard some devotees saying, sincerely saying, no, but if you enjoy the prasad, it's sense gratification. It has nothing to do with sense gratification. Because the thing that we don't think about is, what's our connection with anything? Right? Means, okay, in the 50s, 60s, they thought it would be through telepathy, but that didn't work out. So your only contact with everything is through your senses. Right? Now you're using your eyes, you're using your ears. You know, in other situations, you use the nose, the skin, whatever it is. That's your only contact with other entities. There isn't anything else. So just to see something means the senses are engaged. Now, in seeing it, if you think it's for me, then that's sense gratification. If you think that's for Krishna, then it's not. It's devotional service. That's the point. It's so simple that it completely evades us. Because no, it's got to be some other form. No, all it is, all we have to do is change the consciousness, and the very situation we're in at present is fine. And we don't change it, then it doesn't matter what the situation is, really nice and really pious or absolutely disgusting, you're in the material world and you'll stay. Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of that. It means that the element of when there is suffering, then the pious tend to turn towards the Lord, or the impious just make a new plan. Right? Does that make sense? So it has that element, but you don't have to create misery. The material energy is already competent enough to do that. You know, she's got it all worked out, so you don't have to worry about it. Right? You just have to, you know, perform your duties, and she will provide plenty of opportunities to, you know, practice the element of being sura. You know, that when things get rough, you turn to God. Like that. Okay? And even if things get tough, you go shopping, still shop for Krishna. Okay? Okay. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
Maharaj, continuing the same kind of line of questioning, I think in a previous class, maybe it was in the verse and maybe it was something you said, about how renunciation, especially in the beginning, is not a bad thing, because it's hard for us to distinguish in the neophyte stage when it really is for Krishna,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm simply getting attached to the byproducts of the service,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, yeah, the sense gratification or the freedom feeling. Could you speak about that? I'm trying to turn it a little more so we can...
Okay.
Yeah.
Means the idea is that what we're saying is that the element of renunciation is not bad. It's just the first part of the process. The difficulty is we will think the renunciation itself is service. No, it's only service when the renunciation is engaged in Krishna's service. So that means that the object is there, I see it, and then, you know, we may have by habit or practice or, you know, our dealings with that object would be in line with the realm of sense gratification. So then we see it, then we think no, and then, you know, no, this is not good, and whatever process we have to think about to bring that on, you know, like that, it's not good, or Shastra says, or, you know, you get this bad ending, or, you know, that's disgusting, you know, whatever it is, you know, but it brings about that stage where one doesn't look at the object as sense gratification, right? So that's good, right? That's the first step. But the problem is if we ended at that, then we've only cultivated some renunciation. But the point is, the reason that you want to renounce the idea of sense gratification is because then you can engage the object in Krishna's service. So in the beginning, because when we see it, we do see it as sense gratification, but for ourselves. So the most prominent element is to get ourselves to not see it that way. But that's still secondary. The primary is that it's for Krishna's pleasure, right? But in the beginning, it takes on a much greater position, because we only see the negative aspect, because the negative positives go together. If I'm not enjoying it, then Krishna can enjoy it. If I'm enjoying it, it makes it hard for Krishna to enjoy it. Right? You know, it's not, you know, like the elephants out there, you put down a potato and two noses go out there and they fight over it. No, it's not like that. Krishna's not going to do that. Right? So, therefore, if you're trying to enjoy it, then, you know, then Krishna's not even going to bother. Right, so it's the difficulties we'll see is, oh, it's not that, it's not renunciation, or, oh, this is all sense gratification. It's a matter of, no, we're only dealing with the object. That's our disease, is we only see the object, and we don't see Krishna as the Lord of that object. You know what I'm saying? Like that's where the problem comes in. So Krishna consciousness simply means you become conscious that Krishna's there also. You know? The process is extremely simple. But because of our entanglement, you know, so we basically have, there's one primary problem, we're the controller and enjoyer, and then in detail we have 8,400,000 different ideas of how to be the controller and enjoyer, right? You know, so that's where the philosophy will deal in so many ways, it's so manifold, is to every angle that you could possibly, or every step, we make it, okay, that's okay, but then when I go to do it, then I've given it to Krishna, and now everyone goes, oh, you're such a great devotee, and then I'll enjoy that. No, then we have to talk about that, because then fame, it's subtler, it's like the object, but fame is also an object, right? So it's also an energy, though subtle. So then we have to deal with that. So it appears that there's so many different ways that things are being discussed, and they're totally different. It's different topics, but it's actually only one topic. Bhagavatam, there's only one topic. It's just pleasing Krishna through devotional service. But all these different angles. So the Kumaras are talking, you know, renunciation. Here we're in fourth canto. So in third canto, we've just heard about, you know, Devahuti and Kardama. How they've taken the field of enjoyment and connected it to the Lord. And now they're talking about the principle is that you can't see anything else this way. Does that make sense? So the never forget Krishna is only important because then you can remember him. Right? But we have to be very careful to not make the mistake that this object is meant to be used in Krishna's service, and because I'm dealing with it, right, it's automatically for Krishna. Right? The temple is for Krishna. And I'm managing the temple or doing some activity in the temple. So we'll take it for granted automatically it's devotional service. But the true devotional service is when we're conscious that this is for Krishna's pleasure. You know, because ultimately at some point, one may have been doing the activity all day or even for days or weeks. And then, you know, someone says, oh, wow, this came out very nice. It was such a nice festival for Krishna. And then at that moment we remember, yes, it was all for Krishna. Now you get the benefit for that 2 weeks of it being service. But you could have been getting the benefit every moment during that 2 weeks by seeing it in that way. So that's the advantage of association in a direct environment, is because there's more of a chance that you will remember it's for Krishna at some point in the process. Right? When if one's on one's own without the association, others may not say that. You know, it's like your boss is not going to tell you, you know, you're doing a great job here and we really appreciate you and we, you know, how you, you know, use all your money for, you know, taking care of your family and Krishna consciousness and all that. We really appreciate that. No, the boss is not going to say that. Right? He's just going to say you're doing a great job. So your false ego comes up and all this, and it distracts you from the point of really why you're there at the job, just to get money to take care of the family and be engaged in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So because we're feminine, we take the feminine element. Means, in other words, the feminine nature is because of the pecking order. Then we'll always put ourselves as number one. Right? Because in the masculine thing, the pecking order isn't so important. It is to get something done, but to hang out, it's not. Like men, you have a whole group of men that can be all different levels. It doesn't matter the status as long as everyone deals nicely. Right? You don't status, but when it comes to occupation, you know, getting something efficiently done, then the hierarchy comes in. Right? But for women, it's not who does what. It's who is the end of the line in the emotion. So it's an emotional pecking order. Because the women have no problem getting someone else to do the work. You know, the man, he likes, you know, I'm the big guy, I do it myself. You know, but the women, no, hey, everybody else can do this stuff. As long as they're the end of the line where the emotion is, that stops. Does that make sense? So we tend to put ourselves in that feminine, that it's about us, and then it goes out from there. So the difficulty is then we're trying to switch it that no, that number one is the internal potency. And then it comes down the order. That's why so much of the time that's das anu das anu das. It's not mechanical things, because in being the servant of the servant, you may do direct physical interaction with Krishna. Right? But you're not doing it that you are the one that's directly interacting. You're interacting on behalf of others. And the number one is somewhere else. Does that make sense? So it's a whole change in how we view it. So the renunciation, it's only uses that we don't, then the option to engage it in Krishna's service is open. Like that. So that's why it's mixed, as if it's partly for Krishna, partly for me. But if it's just for Krishna, it doesn't change the situation and the results and your involvement in it and your experience. But what it changes is you know, who's the number one girl. You know? And so it means, unfortunately for in our materialistic mentality, it's not us. You know?
Back to Nitai's question. So the Kumaras are so advanced because even though, as you said, a brahmachari isn't engaging so much of the field, they've somehow learned how to connect everything to Krishna on a subtle level without mm-hmm. having to. And therefore they can instruct everybody because they've learned it subtly.
Yes. Yes. It means most of the time if you see these instructions, though you do have both, you do have like Maitreya to Vidura, then you're talking to two basically renunciates there. But much of the time you see that renunciate's talking to a householder. Because the householder will have the tendency is that they're expert at dealing with all the elements of the household ashram, you know, by practice and everything, by knowledge. But the tendency is to forget the principle that they're working on. You know, in other words, you can't see the forest for the trees. So that's why always in the Vedic system, that there's a difference between the person who is responsible and doing the work and the person who is seeing that the standard of work is there. So that's why the Brahmins are superior to the Kshatriyas, but the Kshatriyas are the ones doing the work, not the Brahmins. Right? So Western concept is that the top means I do the you know, I am the doer and I am the, you know, set the standards. But that's coming because of, means that's the Kshatriya concept. They have always this problem, is that they're there, they think they don't need the Brahmins because they're expert at what they do, but they forget that the principle is more important than the detail, right? You know, and the Western, you know, just as a side point, Prabhupada said when Parasaram, you know, made his tour, then those who could escape, the Kshatriyas escaped towards Europe, right? And so that means the species over there, the variety of tribals over there are, you know, degraded from that line, so they very easily fall into that. That's one of their biggest problems, is that they think that setting the standard and doing the work is done by one person. Right? Other cultures of the world, because different groups went to different areas, so and Brahmins stayed in India, so they don't have as much difficulty with there can be someone else.
You know? I was thinking of Louis XIV, l'état, c'est moi. Sorry? I am the state.
Yes.
You know, I am everything.
Yeah, the state. Yeah, that's all.
Thank you. It's really okay. Complete, thanks.
Okay. Our time is up. So we're going to end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivarinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.